ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उक्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति वृष्टिः। हरे कृष्ण। फ्रॉम today onwards until the day of Janmashtami, the morning class will be on Krishna's pastimes, and these 5 days will gradually lead to Janmashtami. So because of the therefore, we selected a special verse from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 31st chapter, the first shloka of the 31st chapter. This 31st chapter is also entitled as the Gopi Gita, the song, the gopis' song of separation. So the first verse goes like, Jayati te dhikam janmana praja shayata indira shashvat atrahi daita drishyatam dikshutavatas daitrita shabat tam vichinnati. So please repeat after me. Jayati te dhikam janmana praja shayata indira shashvadatrahi daita drishyatam dikshutavakas toi kritashabad tam vichinnati. Jayati te dhikam janmana praja shayata indira shashvadatrahi daita drishyatam dikshutavakas toi kritashabad tam vichinnati. Jayati is glorious, te your, adhikam exceedingly, janmana by the birth, Brajana, the land of Braja. Shayata is residing. Indira, Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. Shashva, perpetually. Atra, here. He, indeed. Daita, O beloved. Drishyatam, may you be seen. Dikshu, in all directions. Tavaka, your devotee. Toi, for your sake. Dhrita, sustain. Ashabah, their life heirs. Twam, for you. Vichinnate, their searching. Translation. The gopis say, O beloved, your birth in the land of Braja has made it exceedingly glorious, and thus Indira, the goddess of fortune, always resides here. It is only for your sake that we, your devoted servants, maintain our lives. We have been searching everywhere for you, so please show yourself to us. Please repeat. The gopis say, O beloved, your birth in the land of Braja has made it exceedingly glorious. And thus, Indira, the goddess of fortune, always resides here. It is only for your sake that we, your devoted servants, maintain our lives. We have been searching everywhere for you. So please show yourself to us. Purport. Those who are familiar with the art of chanting Sanskrit verses will be able to appreciate the especially exquisite Sanskrit poetry of this chapter. Specifically, the poetic meter of the verses is extraordinarily beautiful, and also for the most part, in each line, the first and seventh syllables begin with the same consonant, as do the second syllables of all four lines. So this is the beginning of the Gopi Gita, and you can see, like, Gopi Gita has been the gopi's song of separation. While searching for Krishna after the rasa dance, when Krishna left, the gopis were searching for Krishna. They came to the bank of Jamuna and they started to express their agony due to their separation from Krishna. And they're saying, Krishna, due to your birth, the land of Braja has become so blessed. The land of Braja has become so fortunate that the goddess of fortune is always residing here. So this is what happens when Krishna appears. Krishna doesn't take birth. Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, janma karma chame vidyam evam javetitattva. When one understands that Krishna's janma and Krishna's karma are divya, divine. Krishna's birth is not like the birth of living entities who are compelled to take birth, compelled to take a material body due to his past karma and arrangement of material nature. We all are forced to take birth due to our past karma. And according to our past karma, material nature gives us a specific form. But that is not the case with Krishna. Krishna's birth is divyam. Krishna appears. Krishna never takes birth. In Bhagavad Gita also he said, Ajo Kishana Payatma Bhutana Vishara Kishana. I am unborn. I am inexhaustible, infallible. And I am the Lord of all living entities. But Prakriti Sham Adhishthaya Sambhavami Atma. Sambhavami, I manifest myself. That's the difference between Krishna and us. We are forced to take birth, whereas Krishna descends, manifests, just as he has manifested himself here in the temple, on the altar. Krishna is there. It's Krishna. There's no difference between Krishna himself and Krishna's Sri Vikram or Chaitanya. So Krishna comes, paritrana sadhana, vinashayati duskrita, dharma sansthapanarthaya, sambhavami. Again, sambhavami is yuvedavi. I manifest myself from time to time, yuvedavi. So Krishna came 5,000 years ago on the Bhadra Ashtami, Krishna Ashtami of the month of Bhadra. In the month of Shravan, in the Purnima Tithi, Balaram appeared, and 8 days after that, Krishna appeared during Krishna Janmashtami. So why did Krishna appear? Prabhupada has very elaborately described that in Krishna book, which is actually the Prabhupada's rendition, Prabhupada's presentation of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Before translating Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada gave the Krishna book. Krishna book actually is the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam with essential purports of Srimad. In the story form, Krishna's pastimes are the most wonderful story. Krishna's pastimes are the most wonderful drama. As if it's being played on the stage of this material. Three of pastimes. Krishna performs his pastimes principally in three places. Vrindavan, Mathura, and Vrindavan Lila, Mathura Lila and Dwarka. He appeared in Mathura. He took birth in Mathura on this Janmashtami. In the prison of Kamsa, Kamsa got to know that the 8th son of Devaki would kill him, would be the cause of his death. So Kamsa tried to kill Krishna or try to prevent Krishna from appearing. So the first six children of Devaki and Vasudev were killed by Kamsa immediately after their birth. And the seventh son was Balaram. On the 8th month, Balaram was transferred from Devaki's womb to Rohini's womb. Rohini was another wife of Vasudeva. Devaki had 6 other sisters, and Vasudeva married all 7 sisters of King Deva were married to Vasudeva. And one of them was Rohini. Rohini was, because of Kamsa's atrocities, Devaki sent Rohini to the house of Nanda Maharaj, Vrindavan, Gokul. And Balaram was transferred from Devaki's home to Rohini's home. And everyone thought that Devaki had a miscarriage. And Kamsa could not believe that they were there in this sky, but when he came and he saw that due to the arrangement of Yogamaya, there was blood. She was bleeding, and he was convinced that, oh, she miscarried. But now the 8th son will be born. Therefore, Kamsa arrested Devaki and Vasudeva and kept them in the prison so that they cannot. First of all, they kept them separated, tied up with chains, so that they cannot unite. And this is how he thought that he would prevent Krishna's appearance. But Prabhupada explained, it was from the heart of Vasudeva that Krishna was transported to the womb of Deva. And Kamsa was surprised. How could she become pregnant? And in due course of time, Krishna was born. And Krishna was unusual. He appeared with 4 arms. Devaki and Vasudeva could see that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has appeared as their son. So, but at the same time, they were afraid that now Kamsa will kill this child. But Krishna assured them, don't worry, I have come to kill Kamsa. And Krishna asked them, asked Vasudeva to transport him to Gokul in the house of Nanda Maharaj. And at that time, Mother Yashoda also gave birth to a daughter. And so Krishna asked Vasudeva to take him to the house of Nanda Maharaj and bring the daughter back. And at that time, miraculously, the chains from their hands fell off and they became free. Vasudeva became free from the shackles. The door of the prison house automatically opened up and all the guards fell asleep. Kamsa made such arrangement for security that it is said that even the birds couldn't fly in that. And we couldn't enter into the prison. It was such an arrangement. But still, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can make impossible possible. And at that time, it was raining outside. Vasudeva took Krishna in his arms and he stepped out of the prison and he found that everybody was fast asleep. And it was raining at that time. So Ananta Shesh appeared and he spread his hood over Vasudeva's head to protect him and Krishna from the rain. Vasudeva came to Jamuna, and at that time Jamuna was, due to incessant rain, the Jamuna was flooding. The water was flooding everywhere. The banks were overflowing. So Vasudeva started to wonder now how to cross the river. And at that time, Mahamaya, Abhaya Devi, who creates fearlessness in the hearts of the devotees of the Lord, she appeared as a jackal, a small little jackal, and she started to walk across the river. Jackals are small, so Vasudeva was surprised. Oh, this jackal can cross the river, so I also can. So Vasudeva started to follow the jackal. And this is how he went across the Jamuna River. And when he came to Mother Yashoda's chamber in the house of Nanda Maharaj, he found that Mother Yashoda gave birth to a beautiful girl. And so he placed the boy, his boy, Lady Krishna, bed next to Mother Yashoda. At that time, due to exhaustion, Mother Yashoda was fast asleep. And she couldn't understand what was happening. So Vasudeva then picked up the girl and brought her to Devaki. As soon as he placed the girl on the arms of Devaki, immediately all the chains, the shackles came back to bind him, and his hands and feet. And as the baby started to cry, all the guards woke up. And they went and reported to Kamsa that the child had been born. eighth child of Revati. So Kamsa, actually Kamsa used to spend his time in intense fear, and especially after Shankarshan, Balaram's appearance, he was seeing constant nightmare. He couldn't sleep at night. He used to see that his head has been severed from his body and his head is floating in the space. And he used to see all kinds of creatures surrounding him and making noise. The dogs used to bark, the jackals used to howl, and vultures used to fly. That's what he was seeing all the time. All bad omens. In this way, Constant was living in constant fear. So as soon as Kamsa heard that the child has been, a child has been born, he came running. And it has been described that his hair was standing on end. Even his hair on the head was standing. Kshatriyas carry long hair, but they don't cut their hair. And that hair was standing. Out of intense fear. But when he came to the prison, he saw that it's not a boy, it's a girl. And he was surprised that the prediction of the demigod, the forecast of the demigod, didn't come true. It was said that the eighth son of Devi would kill him. But he didn't want to take any chance. He thought that after all, this is the eighth child, so let me kill her also, although it's a baby girl. And picking up the girl, Kamsa tried to smash the baby on the stone. But the baby slipped out of his hands and went up in the sky, assumed her eight-armed Jogamaya form and told Kamsa that, Kamsa, you will never be able to kill me. I am Mahamaya. Who are you to kill me? But the one who is going to kill you has already appeared. So your death is inevitable. After that, Kamsa became very repentant that he caused so much distress to Devaki and Vasudeva, trying to prevent the appearance of the eighth son, and now the eighth son is born and he couldn't do anything. So he released Vasudeva and Devaki from the prison. And in the meantime, in the house of Nanda Maharaj, when they saw this beautiful child has been born of Yasoda, they began to celebrate. The whole community of the cowherd men and women came. Not only the cowherd folks, but even the demigods from heaven appeared there, assuming the forms of human beings. So they came, yes, they came to see Krishna. When Krishna was 7 days old, one day a terrible witch, demoness, Putana, came to kill Krishna. Actually, Putana was an associate of Kamsa. So Putana, Jaya Shishi Radha Madhava Shuman Mahaprabhu Shakya. So Putana was assigned by Kamsa to kill all the babies, those who are born at that time. Kamsa was told that Krishna, the one who would kill him, has already been born. So he thought that let the babies all that have been born within such and such time, within 1 week's time, be killed. And Putana had a very unique way of killing these children. She used to assume the form of an extremely beautiful woman. and she would go and tell the mother that she wanted to hold the baby. And so seeing the beautiful form, the mothers used to become enamored and used to give the baby. And she used to assure him, "Now you go and do your daily chores, don't worry, well, I will take care of you." And then she would offer the baby her breast. And her breast was smeared with deadly poison called kalpooch. It's extremely deadly, the poison of the king cobras. So she used to offer that, and instantly the baby used to die. And then living the baby she used. So she came also to kill Krishna. And she heard that Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda gave birth to a child. So she came to see the baby. And everyone was enchanted with her beauty, thinking that she is the goddess of fortune at the end. And she asked Mother Yashoda for the baby. And when she took the baby, she offered the baby her breast. And Krishna, baby Krishna, closed his eyes and accepted her breast. And while sucking the milk from her breast, Krishna actually sucked her life air, screaming. She just ran for her life. She tried to drop the baby, but the baby was clinging to her so intensely that she could not separate the baby from her. And still holding, still biting onto her breast, Krishna was hanging on to her. And she ran out of the house. At that time, Krishna actually considered that now Putana will assume her gigantic form. Putana had an immensely large, gigantic body. So Krishna thought that if her body falls in the area where people are, then many people will get crushed. So Krishna make her run all the way out of the vicinity of Gokul and practically in the wilderness her body fell. And in the meantime, Mother Yashoda, when she saw this witch Putana assume her original form from that beautiful young lady to this gigantic demon, she started to lament. She fainted. She fainted. Thinking that she lost her baby. And all the other residents of Vrindavan came running. And when they came to Putana, they found the dead body. She was lying dead. And baby Krishna, although 7 days old, just crawling on her chest. So they got Krishna, brought him back, and offered him to Mother Yashoda. At that time, Nanda Maharaj was away. Nanda Maharaj went to Mathura to pay tax to Kamsa. And after meeting Kamsa, he met Vasudev. And Vasudev told him to be careful about his little boy because there may be some inauspicious happenings around him. So when Nanda Maharaj came back and found or heard what happened, Nanda Maharaj was thanking Vasudev thinking that he is really a wise man. He already could see, foresee, and he predicted that this kind of thing would happen. So this was the first attack attained on Krishna's life, Kutana. This way we can see one after another comes a sentient associate, some terrible demons. The next one to come was Trinavartasura. Trinavarta was a terrible demon with inconceivable mystic power. His mystic power was that he could actually transform himself into anything. He could assume any form. The favorite form that he used to like is to assume the form of a whirlwind, tornado, a whirlwind. And that's where he got that name, Trinavarta. That terrible wind, terrible storm in the form of whirlwind used to make the trina, the dry leaves and grass, to fly. And that used to blind everyone. So Trinavarta came thinking that he would kill Krishna. Actually, Kamsa became doubtful, Kamsa became apprehensive when he heard about Putana's death from this 7-day-old baby. So he could suspect that this is the son of Vasudeva, who has been deceived, who has come. So he comes up, told Trinavarta to go and kill him, Krishna. At that time, Krishna was on the lap of his mother. And Krishna considered, Krishna knew that Trinavarta is coming. So Krishna became very heavy. So heavy that Mother Yashoda could carry him. Krishna played it this way because Krishna was apprehensive. Krishna was worried that if this wind comes, if the storm Trinavarta comes in the form of this whirlwind, and if he is on the lap of Mother Yashoda, then he will take Mother Yashoda also away with him, and she may be in danger. Therefore Krishna thought that he would face the difficulty himself. So he became so heavy that Mother Yashoda could carry him anymore. So Mother Yashoda left Krishna, put Krishna on the ground, and at that time she remembered the milk was boiling on the fire, so she ran into the kitchen. In the meantime, Trinavarta came, and he picked up Krishna and went up high in the sky in the form of his word. And everything became so dark and dense that nobody could see anything. And Mother Yashoda came running to the place where Krishna was, concerned about his safety, and she couldn't find Krishna. And she started to cry, looking for Krishna everywhere. So Trinavarta took Krishna high up on the sky, and his idea was that he would drop Krishna and kill him again. But Krishna just hung on to his neck with his arm around his neck. Hung on to him with his arm around his neck. Trinavarta tried to release his vice-like grip. But Trinavarta couldn't. And Krishna was just pressed in, baby Krishna, and he choked Trinavarta. Trinavarta lost his life being choked in that. And his gigantic body fell from the sky, from the height, and fell on a piece of stone, and his body was smashed. The storm subsided. Everyone came running. And they heard the sound of a terrible thundering sound of Trinavarta's body falling from such a height. And they found that a dead demon had Krishna, baby Krishna, his blade on his chest. So they picked up Krishna, Mother Yashoda got back her life. And so Kamsa became very worried. He started to wonder, like, how can anyone ever kill Trinavarta? Trinavarta was such a terrible demon that even demigods were afraid of him. But just this 1-month-old baby killed Trinavarta. So Kamsa's anxiety kept on increasing. And in Braja, everyone was very happy that Narayana, Vishnu, is protecting this baby from all kinds of danger. They didn't realize that Krishna himself is not Narayana, but the source of all Narayans, source of all incarnations, Krishna through Bhagavan Swayam. And in this way, Krishna was performing his pastimes, Vinashaya to Dushkritam and Paritranaya Sadhana, giving pleasure to his devotees and killing the demons. He used to give pleasure to the devotees by playing with them his childish pastimes. One of the pastimes was that he used to steal butter. And their cowherd people, they used to take cows, and from the milk they would make butter. And in this way, the butter was their main asset. And Krishna used to be very fond of stealing the butter. So one day, Mother Yashoda, actually there was a complaint about Krishna. Some gopis came and told Mother Yashoda that Krishna is stealing butter from their house. So Mother Yashoda thought, why Krishna goes to other house to steal butter and other milk product? In my house there is so much butter, so much milk product. So why should Krishna go to other house? So Mother Yashoda thought that maybe the milk product in her house was not delicious enough for Krishna. That's why Krishna goes to other houses. So Mother Yashoda therefore selected the best cow, gave them the best grass, gave them the best treatment, and collected the milk from those cows, and she thought that this is how she would make the butter and other milk products for Krishna's pleasure. So that milk was boiling on the pot, and Mother Yashoda was breastfeeding Krishna. At that time Krishna was 4 years old. So and Krishna very happily was feeding the breast milk of his mother. And at that time, Mother Yashoda remembered that the pot of milk is on the fire and it will spill over. So just remembering that, she placed Krishna on the ground and she ran to attend the milk, to take the pot out of fire. Krishna became very upset. He felt, I was so happily drinking my mother's milk, and see what she did to me. What's so important about the milk boiling? Let it spill over, let it get burned. Who cares? After all, that milk is also for me. So So my mother was feeding me and I was enjoying her breast milk and see what she did to me. So in this way, Krishna became very upset. Krishna first cried for a while, being hurt due to this treatment of his mother. And then he gave vent to his anger by breaking the pots that were there. Then she went and got the pots of butter that were hanging from rafter. And she climbed onto a mortar and collected those butter. She ate the butter and then went. Then there were some monkeys, he saw some monkeys were watching him. So he called the monkeys and gave them some butter also. And then he broke the pots of butter and he went for the next one. So in the meantime, when Mother Yashoda came there, she found that the whole room is completely devastated with all the broken pots and smeared butter. So, and then she saw Krishna stealing a pot of butter from the rafter, standing on the mortar. And Krishna also saw Mother Yashoda coming. So he jumped out of the mortar and he ran. Yashoda bhi olu phalad thabo man. Olu phalad, from the mortar he jumped, seeing Mother Yashoda, he jumped out of the mortar and ran. Mother Yashoda also ran. Krishna ran, Mother Yashoda ran. So Mother Yashoda became quite exhausted. And so then Krishna felt bad. That after all she became so tired. Anyway, let me allow her to catch me. So Mother Yashoda caught Krishna. Mother Yashoda had a stick in her hand. And she just lifted the stick. And seeing the stick, Krishna became afraid. Yashoda, Rudantam muhur netram jukmam mrigantam parambhuja jukmena shatankam. He was looking with shatanka, with fearful eyes, he was looking at Mother Yashoda. And with the back of his hand, he was wiping the tears from his eyes. And at that time Mother Yashoda thought that it won't be good for the child to be afraid. So she dropped the stick. But she thought that he must chastise, otherwise if he is not corrected, he will not be good for him. So Mother Yashoda decided to tie Krishna up on the same mortar on which he was climbing to steal the butter. And she got a piece of rope and she tied Krishna's belly with that rope. But to her, although the rope was quite long, Mother Yashoda found that the rope was 2 inches too short to tie Krishna's belly. So she got more rope, still it was too short by 2 inches. She got all the ropes in the house. Now we can well imagine how much rope they had in the house. Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj had hundreds of thousands of rope. So how much rope there must have been. Collecting all the rope she could tie Krishna's belly. So again she got exhausted. She was sweating. So Krishna allowed Mother Yashoda to tie him up. And Mother Yashoda tied Krishna up to the mortar and she went to attend her household chores. And in the meantime, Krishna came. He started to drag. He didn't like to be bound like that. So he started to move about, dragging that mortar tied to his belly. And there was a three Arjun trees in the courtyard of Sandamar. Huge trees. Jamal Arjun. These two trees were so close to each other that it seemed as if they have only one root. The root was one, but trunks were two. So the gap that was there, Krishna crawled through the gap, but the mortar got stuck. So Krishna started to pull the mortar. And as a result of that, those two huge trees fell with a thunderous sound. So everyone came running from inside the house and they found that these two trees fell and Krishna was in the middle of it. Mother Yashoda was in acute anxiety, thinking, what would have happened if the tree fell on this one? My dear child, I would have lost it. And at that time, Ananda Maharaj was tending the cows in the pasture. So he also heard the sound and he immediately came running. All the people came running and they saw this amazing sight that these trees that had been standing there in the courtyard of Ananda Maharaj for so many years, hundreds of years, now they have been uprooted. And there are some little boys who are there with Krishna, watching Krishna's activities, Krishna's friend. They told what actually happened, how the mortar got stuck, and as Krishna pulled, the trees got uprooted. And they also told that from those two trees, two demigods came out. And they offered their obeisances and prayers to Krishna, and then they went back to the heavenly planets. They went up in the sky. Some believed that, some couldn't believe. And how is it possible? Maybe these children, these just created some fantastic story. So, and actually these two trees were two sons of Kubera, Nala Kubera, and Manigri. They were cursed by Narad Muni. One day they were sporting in Jamuna with their girlfriends. And at that time Narad Muni was passing by. And Nala Kubera and Manigri were so intoxicated and so involved, so immersed in this lusty activity, they did not even notice that Narad Muni came there. They just kept standing there naked. While the girl, the women there, they mean observers, the celestial women, they covered themselves. And Nala Kubera and Manigri just kept on standing there. So seeing that Narad Muni, because that you are not fit to live in the heavenly planets. You just fall down to the earth planet and become trees and stay naked. There is no need to wear any clothes to cover yourselves. So stand there through rain and storm and sun. So when they were cursed, they came back to their senses. They fell at Narad Muni's feet and begged him to withdraw the curse. Narad Muni said, since I have cursed, since the word has come out of my mouth, it's bound to happen. Whatever I say becomes a truth. So you have to be born as two trees. But you'll be blessed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead when you come as a son of Narada. And by his touch, by the touch of his mercy, he'll be delivered and achieve the ultimate perfection. कुबेरात्मजोबद्ध मुद्रैव जस्वत् दयामचितो आजोग. Just as you delivered two sons of Kubera, Nalakubera and Manigriha, please deliver me from this material bondage. Thank you all very much. All glory is to Shri.